The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Just a couple of updates from the things that we discussed yesterday. Still, obviously, a lot of fallout from the Meron tragedy. Now, the estate controller has announced that he will instigate an investigation into those events. Unfortunately, this follows on a previous report that was published by a state controller some 10 years ago, which actually warned of a pending disaster at the annual Meron gathering of Lagbomer. So unfortunately, this is going to be a before and after situation where the state controller already has been involved. The previous state controller was already involved in making some recommendations about that. And of course, the last of the funerals finally took place. Families have come from abroad in order to attend those funerals. The last one, a young man who was studying in Jerusalem from Argentina, just waited for his family to arrive from Argentina. So the burials are now over. The shiva is being sat at the moment for all of those victims. And of course, the recriminations continue. There was a memorial held in the Knesset yesterday. It was quite noticeable that some of the members of Knesset in their address to the Knesset were really doing what they call CYA, covering their own steps, because there were calls before the Lag BaOmer event for the authorities to be more lenient in terms of accommodating more people. And Aryeh Deri, in particular, the Minister of the Interior, said that his calls to accommodate more people were really surrounding coronavirus restrictions rather than Chas v'Chalila trying to make things unsafe. So he's become very, very specific now in order to try and backtrack some of the comments that he made, because he was really quite critical of the attempts to limit the number of people at the Lag BaOmer event. And he's saying, well, he thought that those attempts were really on the back of coronavirus, and he felt that, you know, now that Israel has passed through the main critical issue of coronavirus, that there shouldn't really be corona restrictions in outdoor areas. There weren't really no masks in evidence. I don't know if you noticed in some of the video footage that's come out from
Maron,
but really no masks in evidence, except perhaps for the emergency workers who I think were wearing masks. But other than that, really nothing at
and
all.
And who had most likely been vaccinated?
Well, to be fair, I mean, I think a lot of people have been vaccinated, potentially even the participants in the event. We'll talk a little bit about coronavirus in a moment. But just a further update before we go on to the main news is that that shooting event that took place at the Tepoach Junction, the IDF were just closing in on a vehicle that they thought had been used in that shooting event when the vehicle was set alight. They now believe that there was just one individual gunman involved who shot those three people at the bus stop at Tepoach. They also believe that others are helping to safeguard him, to try to protect him from being arrested by the IDF. So at the moment, he has not yet been apprehended by the IDF, and of course the victims continue to recover in hospital. We don't have any immediate updates of their situation, but it seems as if though their condition is improving.
All right, and let's just hope it continues that way. Prime Minister Netanyahu's mandate to form a new government is set to expire. That's happening at midnight tonight. Now what? I mean, assuming that he doesn't pull something out the hat during the course of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it looks highly unlikely. I think that would be kind of the understatement of the situation, that the chances of informing government during the course of today seem almost to be non-existent. So at 11:59 p.m. tonight, his mandate expires. And the question is, what happens next? There were some rumors that President Ruvi Rivlin might have another round of consultations with party leaders and other interested people in the light of the events of the last few weeks, and in particular the failure by Prime Minister Netanyahu to be able to form a government. He has now come out saying he has no intention of making consultations or undertaking consultations any further. But he hasn't let out yet what he will plan to do tomorrow, because originally we will remember that he said he has no intention of asking somebody else to form a government if the first person invited to do so actually fails. That was his original view. He seems now to be wavering a little bit, and there are quite strong indications that he might call upon Yair Lapid to form a government. Yair Lapid has already said that he's ready to form a government which will involve Naftali Bennett being prime minister in the first rotation. So Yair Lapid has already made that a relatively public statement in order to somehow try to get some support around the anti-Netanyahu camp. So it's not clear whether Yair Lapid will be invited tomorrow to form a government, or whether the president might simply return the mandate back to the Knesset in the expectation that nobody will form a government. So why delay things any further? Why not just go already now to the next round of elections? So we will all be waiting eagerly to see tomorrow what happens if the president decides to give Yair Lapid a chance, or if he just gives up on that idea and just says, look, it will go back to the Knesset. Of course, once it returns to the Knesset, then any member of Knesset is entitled to bring a government. It's a little bit more difficult, though, because they will need 61 votes supported in a vote in the Knesset to be able then to come to the president with a government, rather than just building potentially a minority coalition, which is a possibility. Somebody might be able to bring a coalition government together with support from outside of the coalition, not a member of the coalition. That would only be the case if that person was actually invited to form a government. Once the mandate returns to the Knesset, then the support really needs to come from within the coalition, which we've already determined is almost an impossible task under the current circumstances. So it'll all be all eyes on President Rivlin tomorrow to see what he decides to do.
All right, and it will be fascinating to see. Israel will be sending emergency medical assistance to India to help fight against COVID-19. What exactly are they sending?
Well, apparently India have really been short of all kinds of oxygenation equipment, and Israel has decided to help by sending a number of flights during the course of this week that will carry oxygen generators, respirators, medications, and other medical equipment. There had been originally talk of potentially even sending medical personnel to India to try to help them. That doesn't seem to be the case at the moment. It seems as if, though, the focus is really just going to be on this oxygen equipment, on the generators, on the respirators, and perhaps other equipment. We all remember that India did actually help Israel when Israel was in the early days of its fight against corona, and it actually rushed a 5-ton cargo of medication to Israel, including the drug hydroxychloroquine, which was then speculated to be quite effective in the treatment against COVID-19, and Israel had run short of it. And India came to Israel's assistance and actually sent this shipment of the drug to help Israel. Now, of course, India is suffering a massive, massive wave of corona infection. I understand something like 20 million people already been diagnosed in India with corona. And so Israel just helping out. And of course, it also reflects a little bit on Israel's corona situation. A few cases of the Brazilian variant have been found in Israel, some cases of the Indian variant also, and apparently there's a Chilean variant which has also been found in Israel. We're all waiting to see how effective the Pfizer vaccine is against these variants. We understand that the vaccine is a little more effective against some of them than others. It's not being made immediately clear, but it seems that as if though at least against the Brazilian variant, the Pfizer vaccine is quite effective. What is interesting is that Israel has published a list of countries where Israelis are actually not allowed to visit unless they get permission from a special governmental committee. And unfortunately, South Africa is one of the countries on that list. This list includes India, South Africa, the Ukraine, Ethiopia, Turkey, Brazil, and Mexico. Those are the countries on the list. And anybody wanting to visit those countries from Israel will be specifically required to get approval from the government committee, which will then obviously weigh up the circumstances and the reason for the visit and either decide to approve or not approve of that. But at the moment, the other little piece of news, which is very, very fascinating, is that it seems as if though the FDA is about a week away from approving vaccines for the 12 to 16 age group people. And the moment, we already know that the moment the FDA does approve the vaccine for that age group, that Israel's high school students will be rushed through a vaccination program to get them all vaccinated, because they are really the one age group at the moment that is still lacking, most importantly, in the vaccine, even though, of course, younger children also have been vaccinated. But it seems as if though there seems a more of an urgency to get the high school students vaccinated as well. We understand there's something like 900,000 Israeli adults have still yet to be vaccinated, either because they are not wishing to be vaccinated, they choose not to be vaccinated. Some of them might have some illnesses where they feel a little bit nervous about being vaccinated. But 900,000 people, adults who are eligible to be vaccinated, are yet to be vaccinated. We know your views on this, Howard. But
it's got me into trouble before. So I'm being very, very well behaved around this. I would never give you my view and say just hold them down and vaccinate them, one in each arm.
Yeah,
I would never say that because I have got into trouble before about it.
Well, we wouldn't want you to get into trouble again, Howard.
No.
There are some questions being asked, and of course, you know, once again, this whole issue of looking at which population groups, is it this group of people or that group of people? Lots of speculation about, you know, where it's all coming from. Lots of old wives' tales about the potential for the vaccination to reduce fertility in men in certain age groups.
I don't know. In my age group, I think that's, you know, that's something that would encourage people to get the vaccine. But all right. I better just stop talking right now.
That's the situation with regard to the COVID update. There is still a lot of speculation about when we will be going into a booster program. The people who were vaccinated first up back in January of this year, even before, will now be coming up for very soon for the expiry date, which is 6 months after the second vaccine has been received. Our little green cards that we have to show when we go to restaurants and gyms and things like that have an expiry date, which is 6 months after we've received the vaccine. And so the question now is, will we immediately be pushed through a booster program to extend our antibody, the extent to which we have these antibodies in our system, or more likely, will there be some sort of an experiment to see whether there is a sudden uptick in the number of cases that are diagnosed and then begin to roll the booster program out rather than doing it proactively? I suspect that we're going to wait to see that potentially the 6 months could be extended to 9 or even 12 months. And the moment we see any sort of sign of an uptick in the number of new cases being diagnosed, particularly people who've previously been vaccinated, then we will suddenly be pushed through a massive booster program. So that's my speculation about this now.
Certainly seems that way. I wanted to chat to you about Intel, but let's hold that over until tomorrow and continue the conversation about that then. It's just about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.